continue on the podcast. Time for another edition of the Nightcap, the after party. What have we settled on? Have we settled on anything here, Zach? Have we settled on the after party, or do we, what do we like?
I think you were going Nightcap because
kind of like the idea of the drink, right? You get a beverage and
doesn't the local place call it whatever the morning show calls it their after party, don't they?
Yeah, maybe that's what they do. So maybe we brand our own thing right there.
I like the Nightcap.
Yeah, the Nightcap. I think we stick with the Nightcap. I like that. It's where we get together, we catch the end of the football game together, and chat about something else that might be on our mind, not necessarily related to football. We go a million different ways. Stream of consciousness for about 25, 30. Just enough time for Zach to have a nice, cozy little beverage.
So I promised you a story about the double kick.
Yeah, take it. Let's hear it.
All right. So I'm coaching sophomores, sophomore football, and we line up to punt, and we kind of punt out of that, you know, where your quarterback is in shotgun, and then he takes like a step or two back right before you snap it to kick. And so he gets the snap. They get a little pressure, and he winds up and boots the ball, and he hits our up back right in the ass. Right? Like, just drills it. Okay? But then here's the best part. He picks the ball up and then throws it downfield to our gunner for a first down. And so the rest, right? Rest blow the whistle, and they're like, first down. And everyone's looking at each other like, is that legal? Can you do that? You know, like, you know, and of course the other team's yelling, you can't do that. And I'm like, well, it never crossed the line of scrimmage. Like, I know he can pick it up and run it. But I'm like, I don't know if he can throw it or not. And so it was quite the... It has gone down as my favorite fake punt of all time. You know, because that was part of it too. You're like, you know, because the defense never touched it either.
Yeah.
Right? It went squarely off our own guy's butt.
And so much of that is like, is just like habit where you just think, well, the play's dead. You don't even keep playing after like a block punt happens or it gets muffed or something like that. It seems like everybody's tendency is to kind of just stop because the play's over, and it's not. I find a lot of weird plays tend to happen like that.
Yeah, and obviously, right, in a sophomore game, you're not getting the best umpires and referees and, you know, field judges, right? You just get three guys, right? You don't get a full crew.
Yep.
And you're not getting the best guys, right?
That's right.
Those top guys just do varsity. There's a couple that'll do both, but so it was really funny when it happened, and we still bring it up and talk about it at practice and stuff sometimes.
I like that. It's always fun part about seeing, you know, those kinds of things play out. I like wacky, weird events, weird stories. That one is, I have not seen anything quite like that. Of course, I never saw anybody steal home live until I did town ball this summer. Like, that was the first time I'd ever like been at a thing where I actually saw somebody steal home for the first time, and I blew my mind for a minute because I was like, you know, I've watched how many innings of baseball live in my lifetime, whether it's been on TV or whatever, and I don't think I've ever seen a live steal of home until the game I worked this summer. And it just makes you think about, like, well, man, everybody's like, yeah, it's common play, it happens a lot. And it's like, you just mentioned Tampa Bay stealing home, and I'm like, I've only seen it happen once, and I wasn't even watching the game tonight.
Well, I've been I was talking to Sam for 3 years about that. You know, we were always talking like, hey, do you think you could get home on this guy? You know, do you think, you know, when I was coaching third, and he would work on timing it up and stuff, and there was a lot of times just like, oh yeah, I could get this, you know, but it's like, well, it's not worth the risk right now. It's not worth, you know, taking the chance. We hadn't really talked about it with hitters at all, like, hey, like he might come. But so when he finally did it, it was great to see and a lot of fun.
It's always Ryan, what's, you were at the Minneapolis Miracle. Is that the weirdest play you've ever seen? Or is there something else that was like high school, college, whatever, where you saw just a really bizarre?
I don't know that it was the weirdest play I've ever seen. I just think that the New Orleans guy just made a big mistake. You know what I mean? It wasn't like the rule was odd.
Yeah.
the weirdest play I might have ever seen was the butt fumble on Monday Night Football. Might have been the weirdest play I've ever seen.
I thought the butt fumble was on Thanksgiving night, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Thanksgiving, yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, that's right. Night. I was in a turkey coma.
That was a weird one. I think when I was coaching eighth grade, we were playing Forest Lake, and they tried to throw a screen pass, and it ended up behind the quarterback. So it was a fumble. It was a live ball, and the guy, the running back, picks it up, and he's running around in the backfield, and he picks it up to throw it again, and they threw the flag. And I always thought you could throw it a second time if you were still behind the line of scrimmage, but they threw the flag as though it was an illegal forward pass. I don't know why they did that, but it's eighth grade football, so you don't really ask a whole lot of questions. You're just trying to get home.
Yeah, in high school, you can throw the ball forward twice if the first one was behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, I don't know what the rules are, if the rules are different in eighth grade, but that was a weird pass or a weird play.
I remember a year, I wasn't coaching, but my dad was, and the ninth grade team at Coon Rapids had an amazing fake punt, right? And you don't share film at the ninth grade level. So they ran fake punt 9 times in 8 games. Listen to the stat. 9 times in 8 games for 9 touchdowns.
That's insanity.
And the play is no longer legal. But what you would do is the long snapper, instead of firing it back deep, would just hold the ball up at his butt. And there was a guy standing next to him who would grab the ball and then just hunch over. And then the 10 other guys would all sprint to the right. Like it was fake to the right. All 10 guys would go.
It's like the fumble rooski.
Right. And the guy with the ball would stand there and just go 1,001, 1,002, and then he'd go to the left. And it worked every time. They ran it in the varsity level that year like 2 or 3 times, and it worked every time too. But it was just crazy. Like, because you think like the guy's standing there with nobody blocking. But when all 10 guys go, it's just chaos, right? Everybody's worried about fake and running, and they assume the ball's back at the punter because, you know, the long snapper just held it up to – yeah, it was great. But now –
why is that play illegal?
You can only – if you're – you can only take the ball from under center if you are actually physically under center. So if
– theoretically, he could drop it.
He could drop it, yeah. And it would be a fumble then, yeah. But like, you can long – like, if you shotgun snap it, you can snap it to anyone.
Mm.
But if it's a direct snap like that, it can only go to someone who is directly behind the center and under center. And you could only have one guy there too, because that was a topic once too, where you could put two quarterbacks under center next to each other and try to cause chaos.
Did I tell you about the play that I saw Anoka run for? They went for two against Burnsville. Did you see that on film?
I have not.
You should go look at that film. It's in the fourth quarter. So they score the touchdown. They're down 7-6, and they decide, screw it, we're going for two.
Yep.
And I love Bo's moxie on it. It's great. So, but he goes with a guy under, so they line up kind of like the Colts did against the Patriots. Like, remember that weird play where like the punter lined up under the center, and it was just bizarre how that worked? They did that. So they spread out like half the guys to the right, half to the left. And Ryan, you saw this play on film with me. It was basically a direct snap, like under center. It was like the line didn't know what to do. And so like half of them were committed to the guys over there. Half were committed to the guys on the other side. And it was like one guy lined up against the center and the quarterback had a free path to the end zone. What's funny is they call like a delay. They call some weird whistle, and coach is furious because he's like, the play clock's rolling, why are you not letting me snap the ball? And it's like, well, there's the element of surprise, they should kick the extra point. Nope, they line it up again, same way, run the same play, they get the 2-point conversion and they lead 8-7. But I'm like, I swear the only time I ever seen that line was in that Colts Patriots game where everybody kind of laughed and said, that's the stupidest thing I've ever seen, but it worked. It was crazy.
What the hell is DK Metcalf doing with his hair?
who could say at this point? But I do
cotton candy on his head.
The schedule looks pretty tasty this Sunday, though. I mean, the schedule this weekend with you get the London game, first of all, which even though those games aren't great teams, I like the London game. I enjoy the early morning football. I like it.
I've been on that horse for a while. I want an 8:30 game every week.
Yeah.
Just one. Yeah. I don't need three or four to pick for, but give me one so that when I get up, there's a game on, I can have football all day. I don't necessarily watch it intently, but you know, especially back in my single days, right? Like I'd have the game on during breakfast, on in the background, like you're watching it, like whatever. Like just give me one game. It can be, you know, the England game four or five times a week or a year, and then the other times you just say, hey, like, you know what? Yeah, Carolina, New York, you know, New England, you all have to host one 9 a.m., you know, it'd be 9 a.m. their time or whatever, game a year, because it's going to make us a boatload of money.
I'd be 100% in on that. I really would. I think it's great.
It's right at the end of my Saturday night shift. So I'd be able to turn on the football game to end my night. I'd just go catch a couple of Z's while the game's on in the recliner here and wake up for the noon game. And
well, right, college football, even though the college football game is 8 hours long, college football has still figured out how to get you four games during a day.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
And I would like that.
I would too.
No, I totally agree.
Not that I would necessarily watch all four.
No.
Every week, but having the option, and there are people that would watch all four every week.
And that's why the Thursday night game, everybody complains about it, but it's like, no, the Thursday night game, people watch it. Like people want to. We're watching it.
I don't hate the Thursday night game.
It does stink that Calvin Ridley's not going to play though because he didn't make the trip for Atlanta. But at least we know that early. At least there's no weird health issues. Ridley doesn't make the trip, so he's not playing. So at least you got that for fantasy football news anyway on the front end. So
what do you do with McCaffrey this week if you got him?
I do have him in another league, and I think right now I'm going to keep watching because they say he's limited. He did practice yesterday though. He's limited. If he practices all week, he's going to play, and if he plays, you got to start him.
So I have my issues are twofold with this. One. In the low Gator League, I am drastically short at running back, but I do have Chuba Hubbard.
Yeah.
So my debate there is Chuba Hubbard or AJ Dillon. Neither of which are great options going into this week, but you know what? Aaron Jones is a little banged up and Dillon carried the ball a lot last week. So, but then I have a similar issue in my Guillotine League in that I have McCaffrey, I have A.J. Dillon, and I have Cordarrelle Patterson. Well, Cordero plays the 8 a.m. game, so he's probably got to play no matter what.
Yeah.
The way he's playing, yeah, you got to start him.
Well, right. No, I've been starting him all the time. But I'm just saying, like, he's not even an option to consider him later or whatever. So you really have to hold on and then decide between Dillon and McCaffrey. And, my scare there is that you go with McCaffrey and he goes out and plays a series and he's like, nah, I can't go.
Yeah. It's a concern. No question about it.
But, you could also have Dillon go out and carry, you know, four carries and that's all he gets for the game. So
that's true. I mean, you're in a tight spot, but I think, you know, you got to play the best guy if he's going to play. Like if they say he's going to play, cause you know, he's going to catch a bunch of passes and he's probably going to be the focal point of the offense if he's in there. So you have to play him if he's there.
At least you hope.
At least you hope. You're right. You're right. By the way, did you get Papa John's? I have to ask.
That's correct.
Yeah. It looked like Papa John's. Did you get the cheese? Did you get the cheese sauce?
I did not. Normally, I just get the extra pizza sauce to dip my crust in.
That's a disgrace. The cheese sauce is really good.
Is Papa John's now a sponsor of the pod?
No, they're not. No free ads, but they're more than welcome to send some pizza over if they'd like.
You got to get the shakaroni.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Okay. So there were four high school games tonight, just kind of winding back to what we chatted about earlier, and I can't figure out why.
I have to think, is it Yom Kippur?
So Blaine played Centennial, but if it was Yom Kippur, I think there would be more than four.
Well, not
Blaine
every-
played. Yeah. Blaine played Centennial. Prior Lake played Lakeville South. And then Belle Plaine in Jordan and Mille Lacs in Northwoods. So I don't really think of Mille Lacs and Northwoods being like, hey, we got to adjust for Yom Kippur. That doesn't seem like
and
up
that's
there
in September anyway. That's in September anyway. So Rosh Hashanah is in early September. Yom Kippur is a week later. So it's not that. But that's I know in St. Louis Park we used to do that when I'd cover games for them because I know they used to have a lot of students so that they would have some issues with scheduling or something like that. So I wonder what else is out there then. Yeah, I wonder why.
Well, you know what? I'm going to shoot a text message here and see if I can figure it out because my friend is roommates with the Blaine head coach.
Well, there you go. Can you imagine what they talk about at night?
Well, that's actually the Coon Rapids head coach.
Oh.
So the Coon Rapids head coach and the Blaine head coach have an apartment together.
That's hilarious.
They don't play the thing is they don't ever play each other.
They
don't
play each other at all in football.
So I could imagine how intense that would be. By the way,
they were both on staff at Blaine.
Yep.
Under the old guy. Old guy goes and becomes athletic director at Coon Rapids. One moves up to the head coach at Blaine, and then the AD hires the other guy to come to Coon Rapids. And then the AD leaves and goes and coaches Andover.
You got to start a coaching house with six guys who are in different classes in the state.
Oh, gosh. Could you like a reality show? That would be really good, the coaching house.
I tell you what, everybody is all up in arms this week, you know, because we play Andover. And so we run the exact same systems because the coaches coached under each other. We have the exact same hand signals, right? Like they just like, hey, let's just do everything we did when we were at this school together. And now, so everyone's in a panic for the week of, you know, changing hand signals and changing rules and doing some different stuff. And it'll be kind of easy. So
good news is you're kind of the outsider. You could come in with totally different hand signals and use poster boards and you could do your own thing. You're the wild card of this mix.
Well, the interesting piece of it though too is like the Andover defensive guys and our defense are holdovers from a while ago when basically John Young was the grad assistant at North Dakota and Adam Denneke was playing at North Dakota. So both teams run the North Dakota defense with signals and names.
Shout out North Dakota. Shout out all those guys.
Right. And now both teams run the, you know, the same offense from Blaine or whatever. So I texted Russ and he says, I have no idea why they played tonight. Weird deal.
Interesting. Well, maybe we got it. I'll poke around. Maybe somebody's got an answer for us. We'll have to do that
tomorrow.
There's
gotta be
we were just talking about Coach Diggins today.
Yes, we were. We did. Yeah, we did talk about that. Poor guy.
One of your coworkers. So apparently, she's in his son's wedding.
I don't know if they want that on the podcast, but we're gonna throw that out there. I guess. So shout out everybody on the pod. Shout out that family who's having a wedding later.
Well, I don't think discussing someone's wedding's off limits.
I guess no, you're right. I don't know.
I'm not saying where it is.
Yeah, John, don't give any dates away or anything like that.
I don't know them, so. His son played football with my brother, so they were on the team at the same time. So I'm very familiar.
And Ryan was very quick to say, by the way, I don't like that. I don't like the dad. I think he's a scumbag. I'm holding a 20-year grudge, and he's still a scumbag. And it's like
it's not 20 years. It's not 20 years. I'm not super fond of Mike Diggins.
As I said, I didn't even know Ryan was 20 years old.
Stop it.
Apology accepted on that one. Sorry, Ryan.
Well, you know, he doesn't know who Terry Pendleton is. So,
hang on a minute. How do you not know who Terry goddamn Pendleton is? You don't know John Smoltz?
Baseball, I'll say this. I give you a pass on Pendleton, but Smoltz is...
Is he on ESPN?
He's on Fox. He does the World Series with Joe Buck.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I know who he is from that. But
I was going to say, Smoltz is still commentating.
I didn't put two and two together on that.
He's in the Hall of Fame, and he was a part of, you know, probably the one of the most notable rotations of all time when the Braves had those four guys.
Yeah.
I don't watch baseball, man. I'm
right? Sorry. Smoltz,
Maddux.
Glavin and Avery.
And then you throw in a Denny Nagel who had two decent seasons in that mix, too.
Wasn't Millwood there, too?
Kevin Millwood, yeah. Kevin Millwood, yeah. Too. Man, that team had some pitching.
Yeah. Good and God. Could never win World Series.
Could never win World Series, but damn, right. They had
pitching. Did they win one?
The problem was is they had a bunch of weird, unstable guys in the back of the bullpen. You know, Mark Wohlers, who would, you know, who basically was good and then not good within like the span of 1 second. And then you had John Rocker, who is QAnon now. Like he's probably the modern QAnon guy, John Rocker.
Oh God, remember him? That whole deal when he's in Sports Illustrated.
Yeah. We're like just he was openly racist and homophobic, and the fans in New York let him have it. And he just he was gone in the league within 2 years.
Oh, speaking of that, I don't know if you saw this from the other night, but one of the New York writers wrote this sob piece about how the fans were really mean to Gerrit Cole when he was warming up and harassed him about spider tack and, you know, said some inappropriate things. And it's
poor guy. Oh man, how is he going to spend that? He can blow his nose with that $300 million he got paid this year to be pitch two innings.
The best part is like right away, people are replying with videos of New York fans yelling at Gerrit Cole when he was with the Astros warming up.
Yeah,
like it's like the exact same video, and it's like, you know, let's have a little bit of thick skin here for a minute. Like
don't need to be defended.
Yeah, let's grow up a little bit. You know, like you're getting harassed, and I get it, right? There are some things that are over the line.
I agree.
But there was nothing there that was, you know, that bad. So,
and you know, it just I just get real tired of, you know, you want to get paid a lot, you want the ball in the big game a lot, but we can't say anything. No talking.
I don't know where you guys are in the game.
Yep.
I've got 50 seconds left on my stream.
I got 25.
Okay. So we're going to have a Geno Smith with a shot. Maybe.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, they've got a long field goal to hit here.
Yeah.
If they hit the field goal, it's over, right? Field goal puts them up 9.
The pick, the interception that Geno threw was because, you know, Lockett was looking for a flag, didn't get it. The pick was, I mean, I thought that was, they had to have that one and they didn't get it. So that was the play that hurt them. But I give them credit. They battled.
Have we decided where Seattle is? There's your nominee for next week.
But they're 2-3, though. Are they out?
No. You're Tito Santana.
Oh, Tito Santana. Oh, yeah. They're already in on the Tito Santana award.
You know, made it look good.
Yep, battled.
Geno Smith was a fun story for 5 minutes.
Yeah, it was like Tito and Coco Beware teamed up for a match to take on Demolition. And, you know, the hot tag got made late to Tito, and he gave it a hard push and just wasn't enough.
That kick from Matt Gay just won me $200. So
congratulations, thank you for your service.
I just want to point out, you know, Tito Santana Strike Force,
yeah.
You know, that was with Martel,
Rick Martel, yeah.
What was the name when he was with Tom Zenk?
They were the that was the Can-Am connection when
Can-Am connection.
Yeah, you bet.
I was a big Z-Man fan when he was in WCW. Well,
who wasn't a fan of Z-Man? Are you kidding me? Guy was from Minnesota. Everybody loves Z-Man.
You know, plus the Z thing.
Yeah.
You know,
R.I.P. Z-Man.
I don't know who that is.
Jeez.
Z-Man was
Tom Zenk.
Yeah, but I don't even know how. I was going to try to compare him to someone now, and I don't even know where to.
Like a modern, yes. Yeah, he's a he was a good looking guy with not very good mic skills. Had the body, good worker. Yeah, who does he remind you of? Zack Ryder? No, no, because Zack Ryder has Mike skills, I guess. I don't know. He was Jack Swagger.
And then, so one of my favorite on the Tito Santana bit here is that every year in the Royal Rumble, Rick Martel and him would find a way to go at it.
Oh yeah, gotta go at it. Yep, the old friends had to renew their pleasantries. Ryan, yeah. Do you know who Tito Santana is?
No idea.
El Matador.
Do you know El Matador?
No idea.
Ugh. Ryan,
how did you remember that? My mom would not let me watch wrestling.
I noted. For
the majority of my life.
Yeah, but you started to catch up late. I thought you were coming around on this.
I'm still in the 90s, man. I got...
Yeah, Tito was 90s.
I'm not watching, like, the mid-card stuff. Like, I'm still getting caught up on the big stuff.
That's fair. I don't even know what you would say the biggest Tito Santana thing was.
Yeah, you're probably right. Here's some Tito theme music. He'd come to the ring with this. How can you not be a fan?
And its finisher, the Flying Jalapeno?
I would argue that Bobby the Brain was maybe a touch racist during the during Tito's matches, or Jesse the Body was maybe a touch racist during Tito's matches, but Tito was great. Everybody loved Tito.
What did he call his flying forearm?
I think it was just the flying forearm. That's all Gorilla ever called it.
Yeah, it was like a Starman's finisher.
Ryan, your goal this week is to watch two Tito Santana matches and get back to us. Report back on Tito.
I'm looking at a picture of him like today, or like 2015, I guess it is now. He looks like a Mexican Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah, he'd whip your ass still, though. Like Tommy, I think Tito could still whoop somebody's ass.
There's a poster of him that says, "Don't call me Chico," and it looks like it's an advertisement for a Mexican restaurant.
Well, remember he... right, didn't he say that he was promised by Vince that they were going to push him to be the world champion.
Yeah.
And they were going to try to expand into Central and South America. And then instead they went
Europe
with Brett.
And they went Brett. Yeah, that's right.
And they went Canada and Europe. You know, how much of that you believe, I don't know.
Went to the El Matador gimmick. I'm sorry. No chance was I pushing that to the top. Your job is to go watch WrestleMania 8's opening match where Tito gives Shawn Michaels a 20-minute, gives him the rub for 20 minutes and then puts him over. That's Tito in a nutshell. WrestleMania 8, classic Tito. Or WrestleMania 6 where he wrestles the Barbarian. Classic Tito. Come on.
I don't know about that one.
Tito went like 1-8 at WrestleMania. He won his first ever match at WrestleMania and he lost every other one after that. Come on. Get in there.
Yeah, I don't know about that one, boss.
I'm trying to think of what else. He did make the finals of the Intercontinental Tournament, right? And he lost to Perfect.
See, that's it. He had just enough of a resume where you had to respect Tito because they always threw that out there, right? Zach, where Gorilla would go, former tag team champion, former Intercontinental champion. This guy's got a resume. And it's like he hasn't beaten anybody in a decade, but we're still going to talk him up like he's a former champion. Everybody loves Tito.
I don't mean to change the subject, but I was 5 points away from winning 25 grand tonight. And I am in inexorable pain.
You got 200. Come on now.
I was 5 points from a huge chunk of money, Tim.
You millennials all want the same thing. Just
money?
Money for security? Nothing. Money for nothing and the chicks for free. I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Because yeah, I don't work hard at all, Tim.
I'm not saying that. Although you are eating pizza on the clock and talking on a podcast.
Who cares?
So let's just, you're not pouring concrete here, is all I'm saying. Let's kind of put this in perspective here.
I'm working here.
Okay, so Ryan, you're not a baseball guy.
No. You're not a pro wrestling guy.
You seem to enjoy the game last night.
I watched the end of it. Yeah, it was a fun ending.
And I think, you know, so the best thing that baseball has going for it in the playoffs is the series. Right, and how that series builds.
A series format is just great in sports in general.
Right, and so And I think baseball, more than anything, like what happens in game one affects game two, right? With your bullpen, with how much pitching you use,
sure,
with the matchups, you know. So, I mean, imagine if that was a best of five, right? And you were going to get that four
been,
more times.
That would have been hot.
Yep.
That would be pretty good.
It's going to happen on the next CBA.
I watched the entire Cubs-Indians World Series. I watched the whole every game. I will sit and watch exciting baseball. It's just the majority of baseball I don't care about. There's too many games. There's too many games in a season. There's no stakes.
Oh, it's a slow burn.
I can't do it. It feels worthless. If I go, I'll watch one game and the Twins get blown out 10-0.
Yeah, you come back tomorrow.
Great. Where are the stakes, man? Because the Vikings go out and they get blown out 63-0. There's some stakes there.
Every game has stakes. We want to win every game.
If Ohio State loses by a point or 50 points, there are stakes to each of those outcomes, and they're different. But one Twins game doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
One, no, but it's a trend. It starts. It's a harbinger.
Yeah, I can't get into that.
I think the day-to-day stuff in baseball, I get it, right? But here's my response to that would be, is if you're watching a game and it, you know, becomes 7-0, you probably can just turn it off.
Yeah.
Right? And go rake your lawn or whatever it is you need to do. But the day-to-day stuff where it becomes interesting is the discussion of the different strategic options, right? Like, what do you do with your bullpen? Would you pinch it here? Right? There's so much that you can do between pitches that most people don't enjoy, right? Most people don't get into that, and that's why, right, people complain like, oh, we need more action. We need more this. I'm like, well, you know, the action isn't always the most exciting part to discuss, right? It's the what if. Maybe they should have done this, the second guessing, the armchair coaching.
Yeah, and I guess I just don't know enough about it to do that. I do that for football.
Oh, yeah.
I'll sit here and I'll armchair coach football all the time, right? I know football, though. Baseball I never got into, right? And it feels intimidating because it's so many statistics and stuff like that.
You got to ignore the stat nerds that have tried to ruin baseball. You got to ignore those guys.
Like I was telling Tim this, like, he said they're my guys.
They're your guys. They're these young nerds.
The stat heads.
They sit on Twitter.
And here's the thing, right? Like, I like stats, especially in football. I like stats. Stats are a tool, but I'm the guy who's going to argue that, you know, Kirk Cousins' stats don't matter to me because he doesn't pass the eye test. Right. I don't see it when I watch Kirk play.
Right.
And, you know, I like stats. I'll use stats. I'll reference stats, but stats aren't the whole story to me. So it feels like every time I talk to somebody about baseball, you know, I say somebody, you know, in general, I read about baseball. I talk to friends about baseball. It comes down to stats, and I'm like, I don't care about the stats. Like, I want to be compelled by a story. I want to see somebody who's special. I want to watch that sort of stuff. That's what sucks me into a sport.
That's where the playoffs come in, the series and
right,
the storyline of it,
right,
for sure.
You have to ride out, but that's kind of the joy of it. If your team's good, you ride out the 162 to get to the playoffs, and that's when the payoff is really there. Like, it's super awesome to ride that out when that's – and a pennant race. Like, you get into August, September, and you're in it. All those games matter, and it's fun. Pennant race baseball is really fun.
I think it doesn't help either that I don't really have a team. I don't have a team that I follow. You know, I have a hard time just getting into a sport. I had to pick a team when I got into hockey. I had to pick a team when I got into soccer. You know, I like those sports because I have a team I can follow. You know, I don't know. I'm a weird sports fan. I enjoy the sports, but it's because I have my squads.
Right. I get that. No, I get it. I'm going to work on you with baseball, especially with all these references that you missed tonight. And you got to watch Tito Santana. So there we go. That's that. I think we closed the nightcap right there. Game's over. Nice win for the Rams. 34 minutes we did on the nightcap tonight. This was great, guys. I really enjoyed hanging out. Your job's to watch some Tito, and your job is to watch some Twins. That's the rule before next week, Ryan. We'll get that done. Enjoy your pizza pie and your hard work
And Zach,
continue to do that.
Always good to chat with you as always. And hey, tune in next time on the Nightcap. That's right after our football pod. By the way, if you're hearing this now, that football pod's been up on Podbean, so go and enjoy that. And then come check out the Nightcap and check out all of our future pods. Remember, we did the Burbs a couple days ago with Lauren. That was great. So please enjoy all of that. So thanks
Rocky
for listening.
Rocky Horror Picture Show next week.
Oh, gosh. Rocky Horror Picture Show. That's right. Got to go watch that this weekend. It'll be right there. Haven't seen it in a long time. And I would venture Zach has never seen it.
Nope.
All right. So for that, we'll see you next time. Keep your head up. And next week on the Nightcap. See you.